Off the Ball Breakfast.
Yeah, it's an it's like the people put up the today's office on the Monday and they're somewhere unbelievable. It's like I am literally at the corner. The player is right beside me.
You don't
me.
Get that much anymore, do you?
No, you don't. What?
The old today's office.
Today's office, and you're sitting on the beach.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball. The Coigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
So to finish, Republic of Ireland 1, France 2 in their World Cup qualifier at Tallaght. Melvin Millard came off the bench and showed her class. She scored both goals to win the game. For the French, it was despite a late flurry of opportunities for Ireland, who were desperately in search of an equaliser and probably deserved one. They were excellent in the first half of each of the halves, I think it's fair to say, particularly in the first half. Katie McCabe was brilliant. She scored that opening goal. It was an excellent finish. There was a flurry of other opportunities for Ireland in those opening 15 minutes, and they converted one of them. And really, once Millard came on in the second half, that was only when the French really started to tear Ireland apart. So an interesting game, and very happy to say that Ciara Grant is with us on the line to discuss. Ciara, how are you keeping?
I'm okay now. I've had 5 minutes there to count out into that game. I think just a little bit frustrated and disappointed for the girls. I think, as you said, France played really well the first 50 minutes of each half, but I think we dealt with it well enough. We came out of that kind of second half, onslaught from them, and I really kind of felt like that was it, that, that was their chances. So I think the girls will be disappointed, in the kind of how they conceded those two goals. But then again, we would have been happy. We didn't expect this result, so I think it's more disappointment because we were so close to not only getting 3 points, but at least a point. But at the end of the day, we are playing against a world-class team, so I think the girls have really done themselves credit in that performance.
How did they manage to frustrate France?
I think the aggression from every single one of them, even you'd hear Courtney at times, even on the TV, screaming at them to get up. The organisation, I think we've seen in the first 5 minutes that they were still able to utilise, especially that right wing. But then I think Ireland obviously had a few words with each other and they started closing down those spaces. I think the amount of times we won on the front foot or intercepted the ball was, it was definitely higher than the French team. But unfortunately, just some of maybe our final passes on those transitions kind of played into France's hands, and then we just didn't get those chances off. But also, I don't know about yourself, but I don't think Courtney had much to do. I know they scored 2 goals, but they didn't really have many clear-cut chances, which we might have seen in previous games against teams like France.
Yeah, it was. I really did think the Republic of Ireland deserved a draw from this game. I don't think it is Irish bias to say that. I thought they had a decent level of control in the game. That's not to say they controlled the game, but a decent level of control. Relative parity against the team that is seventh in the world. Is there a case here that maybe the French underestimated Ireland a touch?
Maybe. I did think that, some of the French were kind of losing the ball in the first, maybe, especially the first half. I thought their pace of play was a little bit slow, and that's when we were intercepted and getting the ball and even kind of winning the ball from behind sometimes. But no, as you said, to get the ball and play it left to right, play the right passes, play into midfield under intense pressure and pop it out, I think it shows how much the team is growing. And maybe that combination of Carlisle Ward coming in and, utilising the back five, but then also really still in encouraging, you know, those moments when we need to play, we can play. And even like, you know, I've known Chloe Moustaki a long time, and I just like love watching her come into that game. I thought she was excellent, both on the ball and in defence. And again, having that left-sided attack, two natural left-sided or left-footed players with Katie and Chloe there, I think we can see that relationship really grown, and it allows Katie to get, you know, down the pitch for that overlap for the goal.
Yeah, the parameters of the pitch were a big talking point beforehand. It was very, very evident on television, particularly when McCabe was taking those late corners. You could see how far the pitch had actually been moved in. An interesting tactic when you're playing with wing backs. Your formation is wide, but you want to narrow your opposition as much as possible, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose when I was thinking about it, I kind of had that same idea, but then listening to Carla Ward, and obviously they've done their stats, and I think she quoted, I won't say the right number, but I think it was up in the 60% of France's goals over the last 2 years have come from direct crosses from the wing. So, you know, if you are trying to give yourself the advantage on home soil, I think it's quite tactical. It's still within the regulations, and although you might be, yes, reducing our chances of getting forward in the wings, but I think at the end of the day, against a team like France, it is about reducing their chance and reducing, or like maybe interrupting their game plan. And I think that was evident too.
Emily Murphy was player of the match, according to Olivia O'Toole on our commentary. I think she got the official man of the match on television as well, official player of the match on television. What do you make of her performance this evening?
I thought she was excellent. You know, I think when she first came into the squad, I wasn't so sure. I thought she was just kind of a very fast, aggressive player. But I don't know if it's the regular game time she's getting at Newcastle. But today, I thought her hold-up play, her movement on and off the ball was excellent. Some of her first touches, her little turn of the shoulder, her crosses, her decision-making. I think she's really, really grown into herself. And, you know, she only turned 23, I think, was it yesterday? So she's a long international and club career ahead of her. And I think she's going to be a big, big player for us moving forward.
Definitely, because she had been relatively highly touted before coming into the Ireland squad. I guess you probably need a dozen, 20-something caps before you properly settle into a team. So she's on an amazing trajectory at this stage, having so few caps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even, you know, sometimes it depends on maybe if you're in Nations B or A, but her coming in and, you know, getting several goals and us being a more attacking team against maybe some of the lower nations puts her confidence up and then gets her profile up. I know she really credits a lot of her college football, but that is a different ball game. So I think coming in now and learning the trade of international football and even how competitive the WSL2 is, I think is just showing. And I honestly thought she was so composed. Like that little slip ball for Katie is, you know, a sign of somebody who's really in tune of what's going around her in, you know, inside the box. And that's what we need. We need that calmness and composure, and I think she was oozing it today.
What are we seeing from the two star women then, in Denise O'Sullivan and Katie McCabe? Are we able to look at them and say the Republic of Ireland can pin their hopes on them being at peak form over the next 18 months and presuming that we'll get the best versions of them out on the pitch to hopefully take the Republic of Ireland to next year's World Cup?
Yeah, well, I think, look, Katie's shown that again today. Often, you know, she is, you know, mainly a defensive player for the Ireland squad. And I know there's a lot of talk of getting her further up the pitch, and that has happened. But, you know, for her finish today, first 10 minutes against a big team where there's a lot of talk of us being the underdogs, I think that's everything you want in a captain and in the caliber of player of Katie. Denise, again, hard work in there in midfield. There's three of them trying to cover a lot of space. I think you could see maybe near the end that knee was maybe annoying Denise a little bit. But again, her being over in England, playing in the WSL, Liverpool are on a nice wee form, which they needed at the moment. But again, her getting game time in, you know, the style of football that is more similar to how we play in the Irish squad. I think, you know, Denise is going to play until her body says no more. So I still think we have a lot to see in Denise over the next several years too. But two players isn't good enough. Courtney had got a lot of talk before the game as well. But I think we're starting to see that some of these younger players are really growing into themselves. And for us to compete, you know, in every game in Nations A, we need 6, 7, 8 players stepping up every single game. You can't carry anybody. And I think the girls have learned that and know that in themselves. And I think that was shown today, first game of the campaign.
At this stage of the Carla Ward reign, what are we saying about how things are going? Because it feels that the Belgium games, they sort of brought to the fore this idea that actually this Ireland team does have the potential to try and, I guess, increase the height of its own ceiling over the next few months. Do we think tonight represents greater progression? Do we think it's more of a statement of, say, that first game against Belgium a few months ago? Or what does tonight tell us about the bigger picture of the Ward project?
I think, again, I think she came in maybe with a lot of ideas of how she as a manager likes to play, but sometimes that's not suited, especially to international football. So she maybe had a steep learning curve as well. But I think, as I said before, like that element then of the Carlo Ward manager and her, what she wants from her team with a blend of the player she has in front of her and the traditional Irish football style. I think we've seen a lot of that today, a nice balance of in and out of possession, girls doing the right thing, people knowing where the other players are going to be. And we have a big game in a few days' time. I think I could answer that question better after we put up a performance against the Dutch. And, you know, there's a lot of energy spent there tonight. So it's just going to be can this team produce another similar, if not even better, performance after so few days? And I think that will really give us as fans a sense of who this team is and how well we can compete against the top teams.
What sort of changes would he make for Utrecht?
I don't think there'll be too many changes. You know, I think they're obviously going to have to assess the girls and see if there is any niggles or if anybody's carrying anything over from today. But I think every player on the pitch today, you know, did themselves, you know, quite a lot of service to stay on for the next game. But I do think we also have several players on the bench who, when and if needed, can come on. You know, even the likes of Jessie Stapleton there, Tyler Tolan's another young player, but she's a lot of caps behind her. You know, if you're looking for more kind of, you know, defensive strength, and then Abby Larkin, I think, would be disappointed not to have started today because she's in a great run of form as well with her club.
Okay, right. So the optimism seems to be there then about the next rung of Ireland talent coming through, because it did feel after the Wales defeat in particular, there was a conversation, sort of a real grassroots conversation about the next step for Irish football and this team and where is the next wave of maybe not superstar, but even just decent level player coming from. And I'm sure all those questions still remain in terms of what Ireland can do better to produce talent. But it feels that given the younger players that are available to Ireland and that the pathways that they've gone down themselves, whether it's going to college in the US or maybe going through the English system, that there is enough to be hopeful about when it comes to what the squad is going to look like in the next 3-4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, you know, even Emily saying that it's taken her a wee while to kind of get adjust to international football, this is where I'll harp on about it again. But I think the FAI are really missing a huge beat here by not having a 23s team. I play with some very good, talented young Irish girls, and they finish up having played maybe 4 or 5 years at underage international, end at under 19. There's whispers of maybe a 21s or a 23 squads, nothing happens. So you're like, there's a lot of competition for places on that senior team, but we had a lot of good talented players between the ages of 19 and 22 that could benefit from regular international football. We have girls away with Scotland who played the Dutch on Monday night. What a great competition. What a great game. And I just think that there can even help develop players that aren't currently playing in Ireland, but it will help bridge the gap then when they do make the step up to international, or even help them make the step up to international. I think it's something that really needs to be considered.
So obviously Scotland have a 23s team, and mm-hmm. I presume a lot of the same level teams as the Republic of Ireland are fielding 23 teams. So it's one area where Ireland are treading water a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't really understand why. Even the Scotland girls, like, they only went in for a 4-day camp, but they got to play a very competitive international game. I think that maybe is their fourth or fifth camp over the last year and a half. So you're talking 5 to 7 games a year for these girls. And, you know, if you've played international football, you know it's very different, even how the days run, the preparation, the level of analysis you have to do, because you've such a short period of time. You're coming in with girls that you don't play with day in, day out. And I just think we're not doing the girls a service as well, who are finishing up with international at 19 and not giving them another pathway. You're kind of just saying, okay, thanks for your service for the last 5 years. You're not quite good enough to get in the senior team, but we might talk to you in 4 or 5 years, you know, if you make it by yourself.
Have we heard from the FAI on this? Like, not to put you on the spot about this, but I presume, is it a money issue, or is there a "we're working on it" kind of sound coming out from Avid Sound at all?
I'm not sure. You know, there obviously is a restructure going on in the FAI at the moment, but I know a lot of pundits and a lot of, like, even Karen Duggan and stuff have been on about it for over a year now too. So I don't know if they've ever come out with a direct statement or a reason why they don't. But I just think, you know, it's, to me at the moment, it's the next best step to try and progress this team.
It feels that the league in Scotland is tipping along nicely again. I mean, sort of, you don't want to be overly using the comparison of the Irish League to other leagues, but there's also, when you speak to people on the ground here, frustrations about, you know, the leaning on the league here or the investment in the league here. And you see other women's leagues flying along or at least making really, really good progress over the past couple of seasons. And it can lead to a little bit of a frustration about the domestic league here. So again, that comparison between your own experience in Scotland at the moment and what's happening here, it feels that the Scottish league is in a much better place.
Yeah, I think it's such a hard comparison because the benefit in Scotland is you have big clubs. So you have Rangers and Celtic who, you know, they bring in a lot of money, not only for the men's leagues and the teams in the men's league, but they also then can invest in their women's, and that spurs people on. Glasgow City are obviously an entity of their own and they're an incredible setup. They attract quite a lot of players, and that's almost edged on the other teams. We now have, you know, five fully professional teams in the league and about four hybrid. And you can see that, like, I've been here now 4 years, and every year the league is getting more competitive. The run into who's winning the league is getting more competitive, but unfortunately that does mean the top talent in Ireland are now getting attracted to Scotland, and then the top talent in Scotland is almost getting attracted to England. So it's a vicious cycle, and I don't have the answers of how to fix that. But again, I think this is where, if the FAI invest in developing players up until the, you know, in academy setups, which they have now created, up until the under 17s, 19s, and then unfortunately might have to lose some of their top talent, but at least at that stage they have done a serious amount of investment in developing these players, that if they do go abroad, that they're still able to get back to their country based on, you know, how they've been brought up. Because it's quite evident seeing the girls coming down from England who are in academy setups, like, just the difference they have compared to some of the young girls coming over from Ireland. Because we have so much talent, you know, in every corner of the island. And I just think, you know, it's just sad almost in a way that things haven't, you know, changed dramatically, and Scotland are running away with things. Like, we're the ones who beat Scotland to go to the World Cup. Why does Scotland now have a 23s team? You know, it just, things don't add up. And I think the more we keep asking those questions, hopefully things will start changing.
Just a word tonight as well on Melvin Millar, because she obviously was the game changer, the game winner. Stephen Doyle in commentary was pointing to her form for Manchester United this season. I presume no surprise to you either, Kira, that she could be the difference when she did come off the bench.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, you know, we talk about maybe some of their players that they're missing through injury, but the strength of their squad, and, you know, this is the difference sometimes against these top teams too. You've fought for so long, and then suddenly they're throwing on world-class players in the 70th minute. Look how we conceded both goals, really. I think the girls will be quite frustrated, but this is a player who's just come on the pitch and, you know, has the composure to take on 2-3 players with a nice 1-2 and then place it in the bottom corner. You know, I think she showed her class coming on, and that just shows the strength of, you know, the French squad, not just the starting 11.
Yeah, for sure. They're a very, very good outfit. Ireland deserved a draw though, right?
100% agree. And honestly, I jumped at the TV when Denise hit that last shot. How did she save that off the line? I'd love to see actually a detailed highlight of it too. Did it go over the line? Did it not? But I don't think it did. You know, when you look at luck in games, the ball dropped them for their second goal and they saved one off the line. So those were the small margins between us drawing and losing, unfortunately.
Yeah, the goal line technology crossed my mind as well at that point, so I'll cling to that conspiracy for now. Kira Grant, thanks a million as ever for hopping on. Great stuff.
Thank you, Bennett.
Cheers, Kira Grant there on the line, and obviously a very disappointing outcome in the end for the Republic of Ireland tonight. They can probably take a bit from their performance this evening as they go into that Netherlands game on Saturday.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.